The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Never seen How High? I'm not no. How High. Half Baked?
No.
With you need to go home tonight and watch Half Baked with Dave Chappelle.
Done. I'll bring it back for Wednesday.
All right. Good. Yeah. Great. Bring some weed with you. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that has to accompany you.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right. He's back. Connor Rogers is back. He is here. Ahmed Farid is ditching us once again. How dare he? This is Chris Sims and Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Big muscles to my right here. Hawaiian shirt. Looking good. Did you do the homework?
Of course I did the homework.
You did. You're such a good.
I did the homework.
You are such a good guy. I was like literally yesterday going like, I hope Connor doesn't really think he has to watch that before the show.
We had to open with it.
All right, good.
I mean, classic 90s nostalgia. New York based.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Jim Brewer was in it.
I mean,
young Jim Brewer.
Uh-huh.
Hilarious.
It was pretty
so
good.
So stupid and so funny.
Right. Some of it's probably like stupid where you're like, that's really not funny, but it was funny in 1996.
That's the thing you got to think back to. You're like, man, I would have been dying 30 years ago like that.
Right. But it was groundbreaking. People weren't doing movies about weed and like what you were doing, what you did behind the scenes yet.
Naming the female lead Mary Jane is like the lowest hanging fruit they could have found.
Right.
But it's still all great.
Yeah, there's some good scenes in there. All right, you the man. Thanks for doing that.
Dude, absolutely.
All right. Did you or did you not smoke while you were watching it?
That's no. Doing homework, right? Yeah. It's like watching all 22.
So you got to stay on your game.
Yeah. It was a work assignment.
You had the girl next to you watching it?
No,
all?
I did this solo mission.
Solo.
Yeah,
look at
she
you.
Was kind of like, she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, we have to open the podcast for this tomorrow. I am definitely watching this. And she's
okay.
Like, all right, whatever. Yeah. And like a couple of times she even kind of laughed when she overheard something from it. It's just so ridiculous.
There's some things that they say that just, are hilarious. And then the voice of, Chappelle when he's, I can't think of his name. What's the drug dealer, that he plays?
Thurgood. His name is Thurgood.
Thurgood,
yes.
Right. And, he's doing the rap song, about going to see him and stuff. And that voice is hilarious.
He calls drug dealing fundraising. that was maybe my favorite quick line in the entire thing.
My mama.
So good. Actually, the date might have been the best. When he reaches into the homeless guy's cup to pay for the ice cream because he has no money.
Yes, right.
And she wants to go out and sit to eat, and he goes to the hot dog stand as well. I think it actually hit harder if you're from New York.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of little references, 100%, you're just like, man, I'd love to go sit and eat, but at that time it was a $2 hot dog. Now what is a hot dog on the corner? Like six
probably.
Bucks?
I don't know. Everything in New York's like
ridiculous.
Crazy.
It's not the cost-saving maneuver.
You
got
to pay $20 to go over the bridge to get into New York.
Seriously,
right now. So
absolutely.
That's the way it is. Yeah, you're right. That's all right. So good for you. Good movie. I was going to say something else to you there, but Dave Chappelle. I mean, he never ages. That's why he's the funniest comedian of our lifetime, at least for my lifetime, I think.
And the
Chappelle Show and some of the new stand-up stuff, he's hilarious.
And I went back and looked like when it came out and what the story was behind him doing it. That was really his first successful
thing.
Apparently, he was really failing in stand-up and. Right, like co-writing that and doing that was kind of the beginning of like, okay, this guy's having some success, and the rest was kind of history.
Yeah,
from
rest
there.
Is history. That's right. Yeah,
so.
Whenever he drops anything, I'm usually like, okay, I gotta check this out,
dude.
He's the man.
He kills you.
Yeah. All right. We got some stuff here today. All right. We got more AMAs.
Your homework.
I did my homework. I did. We'll see how well I did it.
Yeah.
Right? It's never an easy exercise. We do want to answer our man, what was it, at Honnold Blake? Honnold Blake, the top five secondaries. We're going to get into that. We asked for some specific questions about, hey, what's your biggest concern with your football team? We'll get into all that and just have fun talking football here today. But that's pretty much the plan. You got it from here, big guy.
Yeah, another loaded ask me anything. But since we put this one on hold because it justifiably needed time, it needed seasoning.
It did.
The top five secondaries. I think you and I are going to have more of a back and forth with this rather than, listing hardcore rankings. I know you We were talking about honorable mentions before we got on the podcast. That's how hard this was.
It is hard. Well,
so how did you start this process?
Well, I just, at least at first, you know, I went just division by division.
Okay.
And just
old school dirty.
I did old school dirty. And, you know, I had the tabs pulled up as far as the roster, the draft, and free agency. And kind of just went through it that way and was like, okay. And then, you know, at first just go, okay, oh, wait, cancel that team out. Oh, well, let me put a star next to this team. They're still available. And I kind of just went, one, you know, little by little.
Right.
You know, but it's hard because, one, I think there's only maybe a few that have everything you're looking for.
Sure.
Safeties and the three corners, right, which you need in nickel. Everybody's playing nickel all the time to where, you know, there was only a few that jumped out that way. But when you get down the list a little bit and, you know, and you're thinking about other teams that could be in the top five or whatever there, you start to get into, whoa, man, they have an unbelievable safety tandem with one awesome corner, but I'm not sure about the other two guys.
Right.
Or they have pieces where you go, that's really awesome or elite. And that's where it got hard, is differentiating some of that. And I think that's where we'll have some good combo here.
That's what's so interesting, is how the game, I want to say, has changed, because it's been a theme for a while. But with nickel being base, the slot isn't some 30% snap position anymore.
No, exactly. Or a throwaway where you used to be like, it doesn't really matter.
It factored so much into this. And then you have some teams that have the star corner, but they have questions at safety. We'll start from the back end and go five down to the teams that are up for one. I did have three teams I thought you could make the argument for number one.
Okay.
So I'm curious to hear you out and see where
we land. I wouldn't mind maybe just starting there, too, because I have two that I think are clearly in the running for number one. I'd love to hear your third, too. But I had two that, to me, right away, let's just, like, jump off and just go, these are no-brainers, because I have a feeling we're going to be on the same page with these top two, at least.
I think so as well. So my three teams I thought you could make the argument to be the number one secondary from outside corner, nickel, and safety.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos, the Miami Dolphins, and the New York Jets.
Yep, okay.
Those were the three teams that I thought. Now, it's interesting because Denver's one of those teams that they have the star corner, right? They have good safety play. I actually think Caden Stearns, if he gets a little burn over Kareem Jackson, that might elevate them. He didn't play a lot last year, but he looked good when he did.
Right.
A dude from your University of Texas that never blossomed into the superstar at Texas we thought he would, and now he looks better in the NFL. Kind of interesting how that works.
Right.
Miami, the addition of Jalen Ramsey, how much is that going to elevate them? You have Brandon Jones coming back from serious injury. When is he going to be ready? But Javon Holland and Xavier Howard are stars in my eyes.
Right.
And then with the Jets, it's kind of the Broncos thing where Surtain and Sauce, you have the superstar corner. DJ Reed is as good as a number two you're going to find in the NFL.
Damn good.
Michael Carter's a good slot. I'm not really excited about their safeties right now after losing Chuck Clark, and I think that hurt them the most.
Yeah, I would agree. That would be the thing that I question. I'm jumping on, you know, with you with the Dolphins.
Yep.
Okay.
They have to be there.
The Dolphins are, I mean, and even just, you know, of course, the top-end talent, I'm a big fan of the Dolphins' safeties. I mean, Javon Holland, to me, is one of the better safeties in football.
No doubt.
I know all the grading websites and all there don't have, like, great grades on him. He's asked to do things that a lot of safeties in football are not asked to do. So I thought the Dolphins, for sure. I still think Xavier Howard is definitely one of the five best corners in football. I don't think Jalen Ramsey is a top-five corner in football, but I think he's probably a top-five DB in football, all right?
Right.
Because when I say corner, I mean, you got to be able to lock people down man-to-man all the time. I don't think that's his cup of tea anymore to the extent it was a few years ago, but he can play nickel, he can play safety, he can play in the box, he can do a lot of different things, match up with bigger tight end, slot receiver type of guys. So that's where I look at them to be a no-brainer. Now, another no-brainer I'm going to go with.
And I'm curious for this one.
Well, it's a little bit of a projection, but I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks.
And I love Witherspoon as much as you, so I completely get it.
So between him, you know, Tariq Woolen on the other side, Michael Jackson's phenomenal as well. And then you get into the two safeties they got there.
That's the thing.
Right? Now, health, of course, is part of the conversation a little bit. But Diggs and Jamal Adams, see, to me, the Dolphins and the Seahawks were the only two teams I went to it and just saw the five and went, they're good. I'm good with those two right there. So if I had to juggle it out or whatever, I'd probably make the Dolphins the number one secondary in football.
That's
probably
where
the Seahawks, too, for me, because it's a little bit of a young projection still. But I think, man, I really like that group they got up there in Seattle.
When I wrote it out in concrete, I landed with the Dolphins at one. It was just so hard not to.
Right.
It would take a drastic fall off of Jalen Ramsey for them to not be that group. Or injuries, as we've seen.
Yep.
That's hurt them before. They fell into that hole with Byron Jones, and they were kind of how did I blow this? I said his name a million times for years with the draft. He didn't turn out to be
Ibigagne.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Close. Igbinoghene. You got me messed up too. I had practiced it before the damn thing.
Yeah, he didn't turn into the player that I think we were hoping for, and that could have made them an elite group as well a year ago. But then once again, yeah, when you look at Denver, I'm glad you brought up Seattle. You're right. That's the biggest projection because you're looking for health at the safety position, and you're looking for a rookie corner to play up to the expectations we've set for him.
Yep.
But I think that there's a good chance he does.
I would think so. You know, the Dolphins, they drafted Cam Smith. I liked him out of South Carolina. I really did. You know,
Me too. I had him in the top 30 players.
They got some other guys too. The Dolphins, it's not only the starters. It's their versatility and the depth they have too. Because you get into Keon Crossan, who's pretty damn good, right? I'm missing Kader Kohu was a shock. Was a shock
out
last
of nowhere.
Year.
Villanova? Right.
Yeah. No. He's Texas A&M Commerce.
Okay. Right?
Villanova guy is the Bills guy you're thinking about. I think.
Yes. Who also started out of nowhere.
Started over their first round pick. Right. So that to me, and then there was somebody else on their roster that I'm missing at corner Nick Needham. They have him as well. So they have a lot of everything. That's why I think I'm going to go clearly them one, Seahawks two. Now, you know, after we get out of that Seahawks-Dolphins thing, now that's where I think there's some healthy conversation to be had, right? I'm not as high on Denver quite as you. The Jets, they're on my list here, but not. I don't know if I'm ready to put them on the short list yet.
It's the safety question.
Yeah, for sure.
It's below average.
Yes,
there's no denying it.
So that hurts me. And you know, too, you know, I don't know. I don't. I know. You know. Hey, they've invested in that front and the front four, and they're you got to cut corners somewhere in the NFL, and they cut corners there because they're going, oh, our pass rush will get there before we have to worry too long.
Right.
And we got Sauce, and you know, you can't do it all.
Feels like the Eagles can play that way too.
Eagles can definitely
do. They got good corners, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Eagles are the same thing though. The same thing. I looked at them and went, man, they have three really good corners. I like that. But the safety thing I think is a legitimate question for them as well. Right. So I look at that. But now, all right, so you named your three there. All right, I got two others that I feel like I am hands down ready to put in the top five.
Okay.
Okay. And then my fifth, I still need to talk it out and him and haw about a little bit. All right. So you heard my Dolphins and Seahawks 1-2. Now, the running after that, this might shock you. Here's going to be my next two teams. The Chiefs and the Bengals.
I had Chiefs at five.
Okay.
The Chiefs. And it shocked me. I went through this exercise and I was like, holy shit, they are so much. Because we look at Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones, that you forget how good the secondary was
last
year.
Exactly.
I'm with you all the way.
Right. I mean, Reed is a good safety.
Yep.
And then you add in Brian Cook, who's going to be the other starting safety this year, who played last year, and he's good. There's a reason they let Juan Thornhill go, because they went, wait, we drafted his replacement. He's playing this year. You know, McDuffie's good at corner.
I love him.
Right.
I think he's phenomenal when he played.
Williams and Watson, I think, are really damn good. And, of course, have size and length. And then, of course, you're talking to L'Jarius Sneed as well. And I just go, they have more than the five. They have everything, let alone versatility to match up. So, like the Chiefs, again, this is where they're going nowhere, and we were in amazement, and I know we talked about this last year. They won the Super Bowl, and they were one of the younger teams in football. And they've retooled and scouted and built the right way. So the Chiefs are one of the next teams for me. And then their fucking rivals are one of the other ones. I'm going to go off the board here maybe. This one, the Bengals.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Bengals. I know, as one of my top five, they are in my top five. I know, and there's some moving parts here. You know, there's no more Von Bell, and we're missing, you know, our guy, that Jesse Bates, right? But Dax Hill, to me, is going to be that type of guy.
Sure.
Okay. They've got Nick Scott from the Rams, who I'm a huge fan of. To me, he was one of the under-the-radar, really awesome players for that team the last 2 years. And they have some more depth at safety. But then I'm a big fan of the corners. I am. You know, one, you know they drafted my man DJ Turner, right? So I love him. But I'm a big fan of Cam Taylor-Britt. I'm a big fan of Chidobe Awuzie when he is back.
Yep.
And let me pull up my roster. I'm missing somebody on their another corner. Oh, Mike Hilton is one of the best slots in football.
And he's been for a long time.
So, like, to me, I know most people might not have him in the top five, but I think this could be one of those where, like, when the season gets to an end, people are going to be like, whoa, it's December. And they're like, you know, the Bengals have one of the best secondaries in football. Maybe a hair of a projection with some of my young talent, but I'm going to put them in there for my sake at least.
It's not crazy at all. In coverage last year, they gave up 16 touchdowns. The only teams that were better were the Jets and the Texans with 15. When you look at the advanced metrics, EPA per play, just to kind of show how dominant they were,
right?
They were number six in the league. And nobody would guess they were in the top 10.
Besides
Jesse Bates, who's not there anymore, no names.
It's no names. That's what I mean. But people don't realize quite yet how good Cam Taylor Britt is.
Sure. That's probably the difference.
I think there's that, right? Yeah. There are some people like you and me, we know what Dax Hill can be. You know, maybe, you know, the common fan in Philadelphia who's not following the Bengals every day, he might not know exactly what he is, but that's why we're here and we get paid to do this, to tell you that stuff, right? So, yeah, that's where, again, I look at that. Them and just go some depth and some high-end talent that I just don't think has jumped onto the national scene yet, but I think it will this year.
I think that's a great point. One team that I had in there in the top five, that this one you got to hope somebody doesn't fall off a cliff, but he didn't last year, is the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gilmore was really good last year. Mm-hmm. He's a nice addition to that group. They just locked up Diggs this week to a massive extension.
Yeah, rattle them off. Go ahead.
Right? So you got Trevon Diggs on the outside. You have Stephon Gilmore, who looked really, really good last year.
Yes, he did.
It's expected that Jordan Lewis will be in the slot. And then quietly at
safety.
And
he's a really good slot.
Right? It's a good place to
be. And Deron Bland is really good.
Exactly.
Who was a starting caliber corner, right? Kelvin Joseph, I know it hasn't got all together for him. I still think he's a talented guy. I think it's, you know, maturity, learning how to play. But I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. Please.
The Cowboys were one of my teams that I didn't definitively put in the top five, but are in my short list of like, oh, should I put them at number five or whatever? So I'm not too far off from you.
And you know what? Malik Hooker was good
better.
For them
Definitely.
Last year.
I know.
Of a resurgence for Malik Hooker.
No
so
question.
I looked at this unit and think they're kind of one of those units that they do play as a team. They have borderline star corner with Diggs. Everybody knows Diggs isn't in the Sertan, you know, category yet, but he's really, really good.
He would be in my top five in football.
And it almost feels
I don't give a shit about he gets burned every now and then and all that. You know?
Make the plays.
He is.
And he's also gotten better in that regard since that 14 interception season. It felt like he was more balanced. And I look at them and go, man, if they get 90% of Stephon Gilmore, it's going to be really hard to throw on that team.
Agreed. You know, the safeties are the question, like you talked about a little bit. They don't blow you away, but there's not like, oh, wow, it's weak. But the corners, yes. When they're healthy, that group right there, you look at it and you go, damn. You know, and I'm with you in the Diggs thing. He's continuing to get better. And listen, I don't want him to go too crazy taking, you know, chances and going for pick sixes and all that. But to me, he got to the point last year, and I think that's what you were kind of saying, is he found the fine line of like, you know, I'll take a chance and, okay, this is stupid.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, again, too, everybody's got to get off stats and all the grading sites all the time. You know, again, Trevon Diggs is asked to be on an island like a lot. They play a lot of man in Dallas, and they do some crazy stuff up front. They put pressure on those guys. That's where I got tremendous respect for him, too.
I think it's so hard to quantify coverage in numbers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because
Everybody's being asked to do the same thing. People look at the 49ers in certain years and go, well, look at their coverage. It was great. Richard Sherman was a top five corner one year. I'm going to go, no, their pass rush was amazing. Nobody could hold the ball past 1.5 seconds. So you could have put me in a corner and I would have been maybe top 50 in football. So that's where you're right. The numbers are BS that way. You got to look at the system, the pass rush, what they're being asked to do to evaluate it.
Of course, the tape. You're right, because the amount of variance in coverages league-wide just changes everything. And it goes back to your point of cutting corners. Some schemes want those high-end corners because they need them.
Right.
And then some schemes are saying, well, all of our money's in the front four.
Right.
Maybe a rangy safety on the back end that'll make up for a corner that can't really open up his hips and turn and run. It just depends who you want to be.
That's exactly
There's good numbers in coverage, don't get me wrong, but it's the hardest position maybe to quantify in analytical, you know, breakdowns.
Agreed with you. And I think, you know, just to jump off of what you're saying there, the 49ers are the perfect example there. There's a reason you haven't seen, like, Shanahan sign a big-time, huge, you know, marquee corner or anything like that in his time there. He obviously believes in the front seven, and then they're going to play a certain way in the back end to kind of protect and, you know, not put those guys in real, real tough situations. That's the approach they have taken. All right, so You're five. Let me hear it one more time here.
Dolphins.
Right.
Broncos, Jets, Cowboys, Chiefs.
Okay. All right. That's your five. I'm Dolphins, Seahawks, Chiefs, Bengals. And then, you know, my fifth one, like, I'm down to Cowboys, the Saints. Okay.
We didn't even talk about them.
The Saints, you know, again, first off, Lattimore is still really damn good. Paulson Adebo is very good. Yeah, he got beat a few times last year, but again, they're another team that asked their corners to play a lot of man-to-man. I'm a big fan of Alante Taylor and Marcus May and Matthew. Matthew, not what he was, but that's still a pretty good tandem. So they were like, okay, on this other list of maybe. The Bucks, they're another team I looked at. You know, the two corners are real deal. Holyfield, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis are real. Antoine Winfield's phenomenal.
That helps a lot.
But I think the rest of it is probably why they're not going to make my list, because I just go, I'm not sure about that. Talked about the Cowboys. Now, here's, I guess when I sit here and talk about it, I think it's between these three teams. The Cowboys that you've mentioned, I think the Ravens are probably in it for me. The Ravens, did the Ravens have the best safety tandem in football?
I think so.
Right?
If Kyle Hamilton becomes the player, well, and the second half of last year,
like, he looks like he was coming.
It started to look like
that. Exactly.
They just, there's not a lot of guys that can do what Marcus Williams does.
Yeah.
That's probably the differentiator
there. He's one of the best free safeties
in
football.
And Humphrey's a great player.
Yeah.
So it just matters what the Brandon Stevens, right, of the world, like that number two corner spot
exactly.
really does.
Jalen Amor Davis,
sure.
He's a guy there. You know, they signed Rocky Sin, right?
That's an interesting fit for them.
They there's somebody else I'm missing, too, that they signed. But, yeah, they had Trayvon Mullen, right? They signed him as well. You know, so you're right. They're trying to find the right mix there. But they were definitely, or still are, in the running here for me. All right. Then the other team that I want to bring up to you for the conversation, and, you know, the Ravens have Darryl Worley, just a Kayvon Seymour. So they got some guys there, like you said, Brandon Stevens, who I think is definitely going to be the other guy across from Marlon Humphrey. It's just who that third guy is. And then the Chargers, you know.
We've been waiting for that one to be great.
I know, you know, and I know it's a projection, but it's not a projection. I mean, we know Derwin James is obviously one of the best safeties in football. Okay, J.C. Jackson had a down year last year, but, like I'm not gonna ready to go, oh, this isn't going to work. I mean, J.C. Jackson, the 4 years before that, was one of the three or four or five best corners in football. So I don't think he forgot how to play. Asante Samuel is damn good. Mike Davis is damn good. So those are the three teams. The Cowboys, the Ravens, and the Chargers are the other three teams that I look at to go, I think I'll make them five. And I don't know where exactly I want to go there. You know, I think I'm gonna take the Chargers.
Okay.
I think
you talked yourself into it.
I did. It's a tough, the Chargers, the Ravens, I think, are the ones I want to go with. I think I will go with the Chargers. You know, I know health is a big question too, you know, with this crew here. But I think if you had to put a gun to my head, which I don't want you to do,
no,
I think I'd make them my fifth one.
Let me put a bow on it with this.
Yeah.
Who's the team that you think consensus believes was outside the top 20 last year or is outside the top 20 that can make a drastic jump
this year? Right.
Where you're like, okay, maybe you're two for that guy, or they made a free agency addition that like this that can make that jump. Who's the secondary nobody cares about, but by the end of the year, people will have their eyes on?
Yeah, well, we Seattle is outside the top 20 as far as their defense total. Atlanta Falcons are another team that I would look at. Atlanta Falcons, the Panthers, like I put them on my first list because there's potential there, you know. Richie Grant and Jesse Bates at safety, I like that with the Atlanta Falcons. You know I'm an A.J. Terrell fan. You know, when he's healthy, to me, he's one of the best island corners in football. And then, you know, I know Okuda didn't live up to what he was supposed to be, but he's still good and I think has a chance to still continue to ascend upwards.
They got him for free.
I know, they got him for free. You know, they got Mike Hughes that they got down there who's played a little, you know, everywhere in the NFL a little bit. So the Falcons, the Seahawks, certainly three teams right off the bat that I look at jump up. And then I know the Tennessee Titans will not be 23 in defense next year. I'd be willing to say that too. There's a lot of good there. I know they didn't make this list or whatever. And then, hey, Another team that I think has made drastic improvements, but not in the top, is Detroit. Detroit did a lot with their secondary. We hit on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on Monday a little bit.
Sounds
got
okay.
Cam Sutton, right? They got some other guys there. They're going to be better, but I guess those are the ones that jump out to me to see the most improvement.
All right, there it is, our secondary conversation. Not a concrete top five rankings, but pretty dang close.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like you would talk. You locked down that number five.
I got it. It's one of those where I probably will still go back later today and go, man, I should have put the Ravens in front of the Chargers or whatever. But either way, I'll live with it for right now. I feel really good about the other four as far as Dolphins, Seahawks, Chiefs, Bengals, Chargers. And we'll see. Your five is not bad either. It was all
thank you.
On my
we both went
short
on the Dolphins
list.
Too easily.
Yeah.
Almost. Wow,
yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now Fangio there.
Well, and you know, like you said, like with the corner with this conversation too, it's you know, you value the overall group together. Do you value ooh, their corners are so good, I'll take that. And I think that's kind of what you did with Dallas, where you just go, hey,
I did,
you know, they do that, so I'm gonna run with that. And that's where, you know, the smart minds can differ there in this conversation.
On the note of the secondaries, this question from Coordinated Chaos. There have been some rumblings about the Eagles cross-training Kelee Ringo to develop slash play a similar role as a Derwin James type player. With a bit of uncertainty at the position, the safety position for the Eagles, do you see this as a smart move?
I do. You know, I could certainly see this from Kelee Ringo, right? I mean, you know, watching him on film, I know he ran 4.3 at the combine. He didn't play to that speed, right? He's a big guy. That's what was impressive about Kelee Ringo. I mean, it's his size, Kelee Ringo, excuse me. His size, his strength, his length, all of that. But did I, you know, come away from evaluating him and going, he's going to have a hard time against the change of direction type of receivers? Certainly. And, you know, Georgia guys tackle, even at corner. So I could certainly see him being that. And the Eagles do have a – they got three good corners, but safety is an issue. And I could see them, you know, making that move, like we said, and seeing how that plays out.
I thought he was so much better in college when everything was in front of him.
Yeah, that's eyes. The way he is. Right.
He really struggled disrupting releases, turning his hips and running. And like you said, the 40 time wouldn't tell you that, but the film would. It's
definitely.
Just timing and coverage. So I'm a big fan of that as well. I think it's a good move. If he's open to it, I think it's a good move by the Eagles.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Let's jump into the full Ask Me Anything here, training camp edition. All right, this is, we obviously floated out the question there. What's the biggest question you have about your team in training camp? We will start with the Jets here from Tyson Rauch. What are your thoughts on the Jets' offensive line, especially at the tackle positions?
You know, I'm more bullish than I feel like most Jets fans are.
This is the viewed as the Achilles heel right now around the team.
Yes, I got you. And you know, I think this Jets healthy offensive line is I think got some potential to be pretty damn good. Now it's just the if and will they stay healthy. But you know, I think they did the right things by acquiring some depth too. You know, and they're gonna have some versatility there. But like, okay, when we talk about, you know, the tackles right now as we sit, right? You know, first off, Mekhi Becton, we'll see where that goes, how that goes. If he can be healthy, he can be dominant and be one of the best safeties, I mean, tackles in football.
He's practicing on a pitch count, but practicing.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful. And, you know, I said in the spring, and he's been working out at a place where the Sims have worked out for a long time, and my dad and brother have just sweared about how great he looks and how he's ready to go. I mean, Dwayne Brown certainly is still no slouch. He's not what he was one you know, a few years ago. Max Mitchell's damn good. Okay, so you got him. All right, on the O-line. We got Elijah Vera Tucker back. Okay, we got McGovern at center. You know, you got Billy Turner, who can play guard or tackle when need be. So I look at the Jets thing and go, yeah, I understand people not being, like, warm and cozy and feeling totally comfortable, but I don't look at it and go, oh, man, ooh, this is going to be trouble. You know, it, hopefully they can stay healthy. If they're healthy, I think this unit's plenty good.
And it'll be interesting to see what their second-round pick Joe Tippmann can do.
Yeah, that's
if he can win the job.
Yes.
Like you said, McGovern's back. It's going to be fascinating.
I forgot
to see
about Tippmann.
If they try, you know, McGovern at guard, or if they flip Tippmann around.
Do you feel as good about them as I do, or you would?
I do. If once again that giant health question.
Yeah,
it is.
I know.
It also is interesting how they're going to line up. It almost feels like they want Dwayne Brown to be their left tackle when he's healthy. And then they, to your point, they love Max Mitchell.
I know.
So Becton might be the swing tackle out of the gate.
Maybe.
And it could be a ramp-up thing, too.
Right.
You know, when they brought him back, he missed the whole 2021 season. They brought him back last summer. They threw him into the fire, and he got hurt again. So maybe it's a, we need to really slow play this and not just, and we're going to have an injury at some point, so he's going to be out there.
Yeah.
It's a hell, you know, once again, AVT, when he's on the field, is one of the better young interior players in the league. But
definitely.
He missed a lot of last year.
Yeah. No, I wonder, too. You know, I still wonder and go, would it be Dwayne Brown at left tackle? Would they put Mekhi at right tackle? Would they move Max Mitchell into guard by any chance with Elijah Vera Tucker? I would think they're going to play around with this to their best ability to get the best five on the field. But, again, Jets fans who are always looking for the roof to fall on top of their head, I don't.
Because it always does.
I guess it does. A lot of the times it does. But, yeah, I just, again, I don't have the concerns maybe they do quite to that extent.
Our last Jets question is from Coach Neo Fight. Shout out to my two favorite NFL analysts. Chris, can you self-scout thyself on Garrett Wilson? What did you see in his first year that made you change your opinion of him? Love the pod.
Yeah, I think, you know, one, I liked him coming out of college. I just wasn't as blown away by him as everybody else. And that was a pretty damn good receiving class that he came out in there. But, yeah, I can sit here legitimately and tell you I was wrong. I was. You know, I think the route running's probably better than I gave it credit for, right? And just the pure explosive ability I think is probably better than I gave it credit for, right? I think those are the two things that I look at. But the route running is – it looks like it's on route, and the way he could stick his foot in the ground and come out of breaks last year and do that to where you go, damn, this kid could be one of the best route runners in football, right? I think that's probably where I didn't give it enough credit that way, and that's probably a weak spot on my evaluations of the receivers at times anyways, is I don't maybe put enough into that all the time or give that enough credit because I'm always looking kind of more for that physical freak we talked about on Monday.
He is a little bit of an outlier in a sense of, you know, low 180 pounds.
No, that scared the death. That scared me to death for
vertical
sure.
Vertical was
nothing
not
special.
Good at
that's
all.
Where I was a little like, okay, yeah. He ran a good 40, but I don't know if it's real, right?
Everybody, you know, flew that year.
Fast everybody
track for
did
the receivers.
Exactly. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't sure, and obviously I was wrong. And I'm looking forward to him and Rodgers tearing it up this year.
Yeah, they're having a good start to training
yes,
camp so
are.
Far. That's going to be Rodgers' new best friend. This one in the AFC East, biggest training camp question for the Patriots right here. CJ the Jedi Master, is there enough offensive line talent to protect Mac Jones? What do you think of the Patriots' offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. You know, let me just pull up their roster here and kind of just check it out as we go here. Trying to think about, I look at their O-line. You know, they got the rookie who they drafted last year at tackle. Right, I'm blanking on his name, the guy that Sean McVay called out or whatever else.
Cole Strange.
Yeah,
I think he's going to play left guard.
Right, so he's going to be guard.
Yep.
Right, and he's perfect. He's a perfect guard that way. He can be a Joe Tooney. You know, I look at that, Trent Brown, you know, where he, Mike Onwenu, how the fuck do you say his name? I always fuck
Onwenu?
It up.
Onwenu,
right? I think that's how you say it. He's phenomenal football player. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't sit here, and again, I'm kind of looking at this as we go, but I don't sit here and look at it and go, ooh, I have major concerns about the New England O-line. You know, maybe I'm a little biased, too, to where, you know, New England's usually on top of that department, and they have an eye on knowing what works. But, man, I'm just going, wait, David Andrews, Cole Strange, Trent Brown, Anwenu, all right? Those four right there is solid. And then they signed Riley Reiff, right?
Sure, yeah.
Right. So I look at that and think they will be plenty good in the offensive line department.
All right. Keeping it moving here. This one on the Nyheim Hines injury. 2024 is our year. With Nyheim Hines' unfortunate injury, who becomes the Bills' new crafty guy? Is it Deontay Hardy, increased role for James Cook, or someone else?
Yeah, I know. I really think it's ultimately going to come down to James Cook. We kind of hit this on Pro Football Talk a little bit on Monday when we were getting the news of Nyheim Hines being out. You know, Nyheim Hines is, they want him or want him to play, one, because he's dangerous in space, but two, he's a trusted value skill set for third down and passing situations. You know, a lot of times, and me being in an NFL locker rooms for 8 years, and damn, even in college, like, you don't trust the young guy on third downs all the time. Right? It's just you don't. And sometimes certain guys have a better skill for, ooh, he can read a coverage, or, ooh, he sees this blitz coming and he knows all our protection rules and he's all over it, right? Like, Samaje Perine was not better than Joe Mixon, but he obviously had a knack on third down to always pick up the blitz, know where to go, be in the right spot for running a route, right? And I think that's where they wanted Nyheim Hines to do that for them, so they didn't have to worry about James Cook coming out of the backfield running an option route and making sure he makes the right decision according to the option of what the defense gives them. You know, that's where, you know, the Nyheim Hines of the world make offensive coordinators feel cozy, because they go, wait, I can find a way here to get a 6 yard gain every time, and he'll do the right thing, and my quarterback will do it. And it's a great thing to have. I think now, yes, that's going to fall on James Cook, and they might have to put him in, you know, put the pressure on him to grow in that area.
Staying with the Bills roster, dude in a shed. Who is going to win out the second linebacker spot behind Matt Milano on the Bills? Ooh. Obviously, they drafted Dorian Williams this year. They have Terrell Bernard there. Those two guys, is there anyone else that you think is in the mix?
Yeah,
too?
The Dorian Williams kid is ready, right? I mean, I definitely liked him. He's the Tulane kid, right? If
yeah.
I remember
it
off
it.
The top
yep.
of my head. Yep. That would probably be my money. You know, I think that's the guy, as long as he can kind of handle the mental aspect of that. You know,
That's a big hole left.
It definitely is. You know, I don't have a great feel for Bernard. You know, they did get an AJ Klein who's been around forever, and I think just as like can be Mr. Dependable. But I think if you made me bet, I'd go with Dorian Williams.
Yeah, he would bring a different, you know, run and cover element.
He's almost like a Milano. I mean, that's who he is. You'd have two Milanos in there in the middle. Like, not huge thumpers, but really good tacklers who can run sideline to sideline, going to be good in coverage that way. I could see that, you know, making sense for them.
Moving over to Cincinnati, the Boomer 99. Greetings from Scotland. How do you see the Bengals' backfield shaking out behind Joe Mixon? And will it be enough to keep them as contenders? Love the pod. Thanks, Brian.
Yes, I do think they have enough there. You know, first off, Joe Mixon, he's still really, really damn good, Brian. There's no doubt about that.
And well, you loved Chase Brown.
I love Chase Brown. I love the Brown brothers in general. I think Chase Brown is ready to go as far as NFL terms are concerned. And he's a no-nonsense runner. I mean, he brings it. He's going to see a hole, and he's going to run through it at 100 miles per hour. So, yeah, I think Chase Brown is the clearly the guy to look at there. You know, I know Chris Evans is be dependable, and he'll get some, you know, carry and everything like that. But I really think this will be a Joe Mixon and Chase Brown show when it's all said and done.
Staying in the AFC North on the Steelers' heel from Ahmed's Red Pants. Was Alex Highsmith an overpay by the Steelers? And where do you see their defense compared to the rest of the league, assuming everyone stays healthy? Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I don't think it was an overpay. I don't think it was. You know, what? Off the top of my head here, he got what, like close to 18, 20 a year, right? Is that what it was?
Right around there. I'll pull it up now. I mean, he obviously had the high sack totals last year. What'd you think of his season as a whole?
Yeah, no, he's a Steeler linebacker. He does everything well. I mean, he's physical. He's always played the run well and did everything. The thing we needed to see was, can he get after the quarterback and be consistent in that department? They got a young guy who I think is continuing to go upward. You get it now, you get it done, you got to get it for the low so he doesn't hit the free agent market, do anything like that.
17 per year.
17 per year. Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. The Steelers defense, yeah, I got questions about the Steelers defense. I do, you know. After we get away from T.J. Watt, Highsmith, and Minka Fitzpatrick, right, you know, Cam Hayward is still real good, but he's not what he was. To where, yeah, I worry about their front seven and them being, you know, I don't think they're going to be a dominant group. I think this will be a good defense, top half of the league, but I'm not ready to sit here and think that, or I got to see it to believe it, I guess, is what I'm saying with the Steelers, for me to think they're going to be a top 10 defense or top five or anything like that.
Especially when you look at who their six division games are against, doesn't make it any easier, right? I think you could, twice, Lamar Jackson twice.
You could easily make the case, right, and go there. They have the least talent on their roster in the division. I'm certainly putting the Bengals and Ravens ahead of them. The Browns, too. Maybe you want to debate it a little bit, but I don't think so. I think as a whole, I'd probably take the Browns roster too, right? So, I mean, what anything jump out to you about their front or anything that I'm missing that way?
I mean, they're based on the edge guys getting home, but I do wonder about the run defense a little bit, just the middle of the defense as a whole. That's what I would look at.
It was an issue last year.
In a division that you would think can run the heck out of the ball up the middle.
Right? I would think so. I mean, this is why I think they signed Alex Smith, and they're trying to get younger. They got to get younger on their defense. You know, that's the big thing. You know, look at their secondary. There's some good. I get that. There is, but I'm not blown away by it other than Minka Fitzpatrick. I'm not, you know, and I'm just trying to look at just to make sure I didn't miss any other. You know, yeah, they're, to me, a team that's kind of trying to retool this thing on the fly. Ogunjobi's good, no doubt about it. But, yeah, I'm not sitting here like this is 2014 or the mid, you know, 2008 and going, oh, man, this Steelers front seven, watch out, they're killers.
They also might just need a year. You got a rookie, Keanu Benton, a player I really like in the middle, but you might need some time. Joey Porter there.
Exactly.
They just might need some time.
They're in the process of retooling this right now. You know, their O-line stunk. They had to draft an O-lineman in the first round. You know, they got the quarterback ready here. You know, that's well, – I think we're going to see the Steelers stay relevant as they rebuild their football team, which is, you know, kind of impressive in itself.
I'll say this about the Highsmith deal. Only $17 million fully guaranteed.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, they're protecting almost, themselves.
It's like a one-year deal,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Then pay as you go.
It probably is, right. You know, yeah, I have to look at the full thing, but I would say it's nothing more than a two-year deal. He's going to have to show that he is worthy of that to keep collecting these type of checks. So, yeah, no problem with that contract.
This one from I Am Justin Lamb. Will Kansas City have a top 10 defense? Better pass rush, better linebacking core, more experienced secondary. I think they might surprise people.
Well, you just heard the pod with that. We're with you. I do think it's coming. I think top 10, you know, now I'd like to have Chris Jones there, but I think those linebackers are phenomenal.
Nick Bolton might be the most underrated linebacker in football.
Right. No doubt about it. And Willie Gay is no slouch either.
Sure.
And then we hit the secondary. And then you go to talking about Karlaftis with another year. And they got a good, you know, group of role players on their D-line. They drafted it in Duque, right, from Kansas State as another pass rusher.
Local draft pick.
So I'm with you there. And, to me, this is where Kansas City – and this is where I think the league is going to have to go this year. I said this during the season last year. Kansas City is going – it showed teams something last year, the Super Bowl specifically. One of the things I said during the year – and I know you listen to me, but you don't always – I don't expect you to listen to every show. But one of the things I was saying about, like, the Eagles and the Dolphins offenses, right, if you're going to stop them, you can't just think you're going to go, we're just going to call good sound defenses and we'll be in the right – they have an answer for everything. At some point with your good sound defenses, they're going to call plays or you're going to go, it's sound, but now this guy did a fake reverse this way and they pulled two linemen this way and they faked the running back to the other way and now the quarterback's going this way and they got an extra gap over here and you can't defend it, right? And to me, what the Chiefs did and showed, especially in the Super Bowl, is that you got to call some defenses that are not specifically always great. They're not sound. They're not perfect. You have to call some defenses and go, I'm going to call this because all my studies and stuff say they do these things on second and seven. But if they call this one play, we might be screwed.
There's more risk.
But you're going to do it because I don't think you're ever going to stop these offenses with the read options, the RPOs, all the different things they're doing. You can't be sound and have a guy in every gap all the time. So you got to kind of create your own chaos. And that was my point when I was getting with the Chiefs, is I think the Chiefs are onto that, and I think Spagnuolo realizes that because he's had to play some of these offenses and go, you can't be sound all the time against these guys. You got to take some calculated risk or chance, and that's where I also think that the Chiefs will thrive.
And if you have the greatest quarterback on earth, why the hell would you not do that?
Right.
If you make a mistake, you really think Patrick Mahomes can't be relied upon to get those 7 points back?
Agreed.
Take the chance.
Or like they did in the Super Bowl. Yeah, don't take the chance. Make them, you know, go score or they're off the field, but either way, Mahomes is back on the field playing. He's not sitting over by the Gatorade bottle for, you know, 27 minutes with the team running the ball down your throat and 6 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, doing all that. So yeah, he can take some of those chances. Now the one thing, like he always says, you know, the one thing they have to deal with and what makes it hard for them to be a top 10 defense is what? It's just what you just said. Everybody who plays them goes, we gotta do more on our offense.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if we can stop them. So that play that we've been talking about for 7 weeks, we're going to call it this week. And that play we practiced to fuck teams over all training camp, this is the week we're bringing it out. So they have to deal with that shit too, where they watch film of a team for 9 weeks and go, whoa, this team never did this the first half of the season, and they're doing it 5 times because people know they have to go outside the book to beat, you know, those fuckers in red and yellow.
They basically become the schoolyard bully that everybody gives their best punch to.
Exactly right.
You have to.
It's exactly
a tough way to be.
Right.
But a good place to be.
It is a good place to be.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Broncos fan for life. Missing Ahmed, but enjoying Connor.
Thank you,
Bronco fan for
Let
life.
It go, Bronco
we miss
fan.
Ahmed, too. Who do the Broncos turn to if Javonte Williams isn't as good? Does Peyton/Patton keep keep what we've got or look at Dalvin Cook? And how long did they decide? Well, I think that's why they signed Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He gives them that ability to slow play this. It doesn't put tremendous pressure on Javonte Williams. Now, hey, will they get in camp and maybe go, damn, yeah, he's going to be a while before he's ready to go and kick some butt for us, and Samaje Perine's maybe just not quite as explosive enough or whatever to be our every down guy or whatever? You know, I don't think it's something they're going to look at right now is what I'm saying with Dalvin Cook. Right, I think it's one of those things where they're going to go, hey, we got who we got here. We're okay with that. They got a Tony Jones Jr. who he had, you know, some time with, I think, in New Orleans when Tony was down there a little bit. So, you know, but yeah, I think that'll be one where it's evaluate and kind of what I've said about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's a guy, too, that, you know, he should slow play this. There's no reason. He's been around the NFL. There's not a playbook thing that you have to worry about as far as a running back's concerned. He's a pro. He'll be in shape. To me, I'd want to sit here and slow play it and make sure I get to a place where I go, And I heard him talking on Rich Eisen on Monday. Like, he still wants to be the guy, right? So, hey, wait and see what happens here. You might get a team like Denver where, man, Javonte Williams, they can't play him early in the year. They don't want Pierre. They're desperate, and maybe they'll pay him the price tag that he wants. But I would think he's going to be on the radar here until they feel totally comfortable with Javonte Williams.
To close the book on the AFC West, biggest training camp question for the Raiders here, do you think Patrick Graham can get my Raiders defense together next year? We did a lot of overhaul on the defensive side of the ball. We added Crazy Town and Tyree Wilson and a much-needed dog in Marcus Peters. Our offense can do some things, just worried about our defense.
Yeah, I think he's fair to worry about it. I'd be worried about it. I mean, I would. I like your three pass rushers, all right? I mean, that's for sure. I mean, Max Crosby he's an all-pro pass rusher for me. You know, I think, I thought Tyree Wilson was the man. He's not going to be able to be dependent on early in the year. But, yeah, I think ultimately with the Raiders, I love the Marcus Peters signing. One of the reasons I loved it and talked about it on yesterday on Pro Football Talk is because, yeah, it's Patrick Graham. He comes from New England. They want to play man-to-man, and I want to go, who can play man-to-man that you can depend on in the Raiders, right? Who is it, right? That's the big thing. I know they got our man, the speedster from Maryland, which I'm sure they're going to try to use him in that capacity.
Corian Bennett.
Right? But, you know, after that, the safeties, not necessarily very impressive either, right? You know, so they're going to be, I think it's they're building on that side of the ball is what I'm saying. And yeah, the offense is going to have to carry the squad. I think that's where their money is right now. That's how they're built. Their head coach is an offensive coordinator. So I think it is going to be on the offense here to hold it down for one more year and then hope a Trayvon Morey continues to get better. And Chris Smith, who they drafted from Georgia, he comes, you know, and develops into something in year two and, you know, go from there. The kid they drafted from Alabama, the D lineman, right?
Byron Young.
Brian, right, right. So, you know, their interior part of their defense is not impressive. And, of course, we just hit on the secondary, which is not necessarily going to blow you away either.
All their money's in and draft capital's in edge pass rush and offense.
It's Colton Miller. It's the receivers, right? It's the quarterback. It's Josh Jacobs. Yeah, it's all offense and pass rushers. You're exactly right.
Okay. Moose Maxwell, 31. Can the Colts offensive line get back to its dominant ways? If so, how high is their ceiling with Anthony Richardson at quarterback?
Yeah, can they become the wall, the blue wall again like they were, you know, a few years ago? Last year it was disappointing. They definitely fell off. I mean, Quentin Nelson, I got to think he's going to have a bounce back year. It was his worst year of his career. There's no question about
like it
that.
Came out of nowhere, too.
Out of nowhere,
it's not
like, right?
Old.
Didn't see that happening. No, I mean, you know, was still playing high-level football, right? I think with them a little bit and that, I think this is some of the things that they lost Glowinski, who is a very good run-blocking offensive lineman. They lost, who was it? I'm going back to 2 years ago. Jack Doyle, I believe. Was that Jack Doyle, their tight end?
Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle, he was one of their best block. He was one of the, I mean, again, pass game, whatever, but running, run-blocking, the man. So they lost those two guys, and who else am I missing? Eric Fisher, right, who they had 2 years ago. Again, not premier pass-protecting left tackle, very good run-blocking tackle. So that kind of, like, flew under the radar of, like, hey, this is why they're not as good, let alone Quentin Nelson didn't play as well. I do think they're going to be better. I think the scheme itself is going to help them be better. They're going to be coached in the run game. They're going to be all about the run game. Braden Smith is still really damn good. We know that. Right. Ryan Kelly, his health. I think they'll be better than last year, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Long story short, you feel the same way?
I think they need a big step from Bernard Raimann.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That'll dictate. Right. That will probably dictate the ceiling of Quentin Nelson playing next to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be hard to be a left guard in the league and you're used to one thing next to you for so long. And then you guys struggling and there's just a lot going on and communication. And
definitely.
So that's probably the variable I would have for them.
Right
now. But yeah, I think the threat of Richardson running has to make life easier for them as a whole.
Exactly.
Though.
Exactly.
I mean, because everybody's overthinking everything rather than playing downhill when that happens.
Right. You're so limited too.
Right.
And you're limited because you become, you know, you're so worried about all that they can do, you get conservative. Like we were just talking about. And I just, yeah, like I was saying, I think defense are going to have to change that this year. They're going to have to be a little not conservative to kind of mess things up. But, yeah, you're right about the Raymond thing. That's the point. Can he make that next step and be the franchise left tackle and how – I liked him coming out of Central Michigan.
Me too.
I did too. But, yeah, it didn't seem like he got the greatest reviews last year in Indianapolis.
Dan Salas, do you see the Eagles having any hangover from losing the Super Bowl in the way they did and because they lost some key players?
I mean, do I expect them to just be like last year where I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Like, when the schedule came out, I was like, the Eagles are going to be 10-0. They're going to be 10-1. Like, that was no doubt. Do I expect that? No. Do I expect them, though, still to be all year long top 1, 2, or 3 in the NFC as far as record and all that? Absolutely. I mean, they're too talented. I still think it's the most talented roster in football, even though they lost some players. Sure. Yeah, but no, I don't see it. I think with that quarterback they have there, he's going to keep them driven and motivated for sure. He's a tremendous leader. And I think Nick Sirianni and company has got the magic touch too. So I don't expect them to fall off.
It doesn't feel like anyone in the NFC is terrifying you where you're like, wow, the Eagles, you know, they're in trouble if they just run back the same kind of thing again.
No. No.
Conferences.
No, it's literally like run back the same thing again, and then we'll run back the same thing with the 49ers, and we'll see in the NFC Championship,
right?
And hopefully their quarterback doesn't get hurt. I mean, that's kind of how it feels to me.
Right. Sure.
It's like inevitable. I mean, yeah. And then you just, you know, like we've said a little bit over the offseason, do the Cowboys jump in that party?
That's
maybe
the third team. Yeah. You're like, what can the Cowboys do to get over the hump?
Is there some other team there that we're missing or whatever? I don't know. I got to see it a little first to believe it.
Well, maybe this team could be it. The Seahawks. This one from Task Force L. Love
the pod. They would be in the running.
Sending love from Germany. Do you think the Seahawks will be a true modern pass offense or, again, a run-first team? Keep up the good work. Hope to see you one day here in Germany.
Oh, I want to come to Germany. I'm here that. I want to do that for sure. You know, I want to do Pro Football Talk and Unbutton in Germany. I want to do Pro Football Talk and Unbutton in London. We have a very big fan base there.
A lot of NFL fans.
A lot.
It's just a matter of time.
It's blowing up, right. So I'm with our man here as far as Task Force L, and that the Seahawks could be that team that interjects into that top combo. You know, one, I totally expect the offensive line to be better this year. You know, two rookie tackles last year.
It's tough. And they held their own for, you know, what they were walking into, right?
Definitely. Definitely. They definitely held their own. I mean, I think they struck gold with the kid from Washington State at right tackle. And then, of course, we know the Mississippi State kid is extremely talented, too. So that excites me. You know, of course, what they did in the draft this year, exciting. Like, holy shit. Their top three picks to me, I loved it. I got to think the Anthony Bradford kid has a chance to start, the guard from LSU.
He's an ass kicker.
Right,
man.
Ass kicker. Yeah. So I think you're going to see Seahawks be a balanced, run first, take big shots in the pass game type of football team. Not that it's like 60-40 run, but I think it's going to be, hey, we're going to ride Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet and be physical and play that way, and get you to come down to the line of scrimmage. And, oh, yeah, we got Geno Smith, who can – you play man-to-man or give him a shot to throw the ball down the field, see if fucking he's throwing a bomb to DK or Lockett or Njigba. I don't know. I guess that's kind of how I see them playing. Not quite as ball-controlled Seahawks like 2013 and all that, right? I think it's like, yeah, we want to run the ball, and when they drop back to pass, it's going to be looking for like – we're looking for – chunk plays. We're looking for 30 yards right here and changing the field position totally.
It was funny when they took Jackson Smith and Jigba in the first round. I reacted in a sense of, oh, you know, maybe they want to be really 11 personnel heavy. This is their third wide receiver now. We saw what that offense looked like when Lockett was hurt or banged up. But then they took Charbonnet in the second round when they had Kenneth Walker, and you're like, I think Pete's going to be Pete, and they are going to lean on a two-back downhill system, like you said, Sims, that can be an explosive play threat. And you just look at personnel for them last year. I mean, they used 11 personnel, three wide receivers on the field. They were 25th in the league. Mm. That was not them.
It's crazy.
So it'll be fascinating to track that if that changes, because they are one of the teams that traditionally has not moved into that. We live on the field with three wide receivers.
Yeah. No, I think we see more 11 from them. You know,
it's just about 52%.
Yeah. Okay. I think we see more, right? But I think that's probably part of the reason they love Njigba too, is not only his route running, he can be physical and block in the run game. And yeah, I still think we're going to see a number of two tight end sets with Noah Fant and Disley doing that. Pete Carroll ain't going to deviate too far, and he's not going to let the team be like throw the ball 45 times a game. That's not what he's going to do. So yeah, I think we hit it.
What would you guess McVay is in for 11 personnel?
Oh, I was just about to jump. That's the shocking thing, because Shane Waldron, came from McVay, right? So that just tells you. I'm going to say McVay was in 11 91% of the time.
90.8.
It's crazy.
You nailed it.
Thank you. Thank you very
That's
much.
That's wildly impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew it's extremely high, because two tight ends never make it on the field there. And, I was going off the top of my head going, do I remember seeing a lot of four receiver sets? They don't do that as much either. So, good. Sun shines on a dog's ass.
All right, your boy El Rey is back. What kind of changes can we expect to see from San Francisco with Steve Wilks being the new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more exotic. That would be my two cents. You know, one, Shanahan, the way they want to play, do all that. Like, we just talked about, I don't think they want to play exotic, man-to-man and give you shots like that. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's what Shanahan believes in, the philosophy of winning games and all that. But creative ways to still play cover three and cover four and have, different looks, different blitzes. This guy blitzes, this guy drops. I think you might see a little bit more of that from Orton and the 49ers, and a little bit more of a different, a variety in lineup and what I mean in how they line up, pre-snap. You know, with the 49ers the last few years, it's either 4-2 nickel or it's 4-2, and there's two guys up in the A gap and somebody's going to drop out and one's going to blitz. It's like one of those two things. You just don't know who's coming, which one's coming, blah, blah, blah. I think you're going to see more sets from them this year.
One more on the Niners from Panicard 37. Does Trey Lance end training camp on the 49ers roster?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I am. This is a team that's got, the worst fucking luck in the world at the quarterback position. So they need three quarterbacks. To just cut Trey Lance, I don't see that happening, especially what you've invested in him and the politics of football. Like, they'll be severely questioned and people will talk about it even more if they just cut him for nothing. Trade? Who's going to trade anything for him?
It goes back to the politics. You can't even save – you can't trade him for a fifth round.
Exactly,
Nick.
Right.
Terrible look.
So you might as well keep him. Right. And – Teams aren't even going to want to trade a fifth-round pick, or that's as high as they're going to go, because they're going to go, wait, you don't even like him. Wait, everybody in football knows he's already your third stringer right now. So, yeah, and then he hasn't played enough football. So I think it's going to continue to develop, and, he'll wait, and, for his sake, he'll hope to get a chance maybe somehow through injury or whatever else to get on the field.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Bosnian Bear wants to know, Bucks are making a mistake having a quarterback competition at this point. Same situation Panthers had last year, and the quarterback never got enough reps with the starters.
Well, there becomes a point where it does become detrimental. You know, the old saying, right? If you got two quarterbacks, you got none, right? I still expect it to be Baker Mayfield. But, yeah, at some point, and you've heard me say this before, and I say this to Florio all the time, you know, this is something I know New England believes in. And a lot of you got to start framing your team around who's going to lead your group. Who's going to lead the unit? Who's going to get the, you know, like you're talking about and like the question here, get enough work to work on the nuances of the offense and get everybody used to each other and on the same page. And, ooh, when he's like, sees this, he likes to check to this. And, ooh, he gives signals like this. And, you know, so, yeah, I at some point here in the next, you know, 10 days, I would hope they start to have a clear cut. This is our guy, and he gets the majority of the reps.
Does it start to affect the pass catchers as well in the offensive line when you have two different guys getting those split reps and nothing's the same or nothing's even keeled, or just do guys just kind of go out there and they're just going to catch it from whoever?
They try to be pros, but it does.
It's got
to
be hard.
It affects. Yeah. It affects the team.
Especially going from Tom Brady.
Well, yeah.
Very different.
You got that. You got to, you know, you're going to – it's human nature. The more it festers, the more you're going to get, ooh, I'm a Trask guy or I'm a Baker Mayfield guy in the locker room. Oh, this is my buddy. I want my guy to be the guy. And, I mean, so that's where it can do a disservice to your football team if it drags on too long.
Our last one here on Ask Me Anything Training Camp Edition. Coach Magnet, I don't like going cold turkey without my regular dose of unbuttoned. What do you think the Packers' offense will look like? Will it be closer to the 49ers' style of play, or will they take advantage of defenses being more concerned about the run game than Jordan Love?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm very optimistic about the Packers. I am. Now, you know, will it look more like the 49ers? I think maybe to a degree. Nobody's going to look like the 49ers. Listen, I've had a lot of people this offseason talk to me about, oh, you know, Shanahan and his offense and, you know, McVay runs it and LaFleur runs it and all that. And I want to go, nobody really runs Shanahan's offense. Shanahan is kind of in a league of his own. They kind of run the basic version of Shanahan's offense. Or McVay, who, you know, I would say, yeah, there's some Shanahan, but there's a lot of Jay Gruden and John Gruden in that offense too. So I don't even know if you could totally say that. And McVay goes to more of a, he has his formula every game he does that. Shanahan is like, I'll give you a story just real quick on the subject. I'm talking to some defensive coaches in football. Talk to one who's got the 49ers on their roster or on their schedule early in the year, right? They're going to play them in the first 4 or 5 weeks. So they're doing some off-season studying on them. He's just going, I mean, I'm evaluating the – I'm looking at the 49ers. I mean, the – he starts laughing. He goes, the fucking 49ers do everything. I mean, the fucking 49ers, they're doing shit the rest of the league isn't doing. You know, it's not as apparent to the untrained eye, you know, because when we think different, it's a different formation. They come up with different pass concepts. No, it's the nuance in the run game that you really got to know where you'd go. Yeah, here's a toss sweep from last week. And then the next week they run the toss sweep. And it looks the same, but it's actually blocked totally different, right? That's where he is a mastermind that way. And then off of that new play, you know, comes up with 3 or 4 play action passes where you go, whoa, I've never seen it done this way too. So he kind of always reinvents himself. Like think about even the Seahawks playoff game. Do you remember that game? Brock Purdy kept running to his left to run a fake, and they were running deep in cuts going the other way, and he was throwing it across the field, and they were wide open. That's what I mean. He does shit where the rest of the league's like, wait, nobody does this.
Yeah, not with Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
That's what's even more shocking.
I know everybody wants to think they're the same, but that's where I'd go, no, Shanahan's a little bit of a class of his own. But to the basic point at Coach Magnet, I think they're going to, yes, they're going to rely on the run game, be physical that way. And I think you're going to see the Packers push the ball down the field a little bit more. You know, the one thing I think Aaron Rodgers did to them the last few years is he put them in the, I want to throw it short and get on my hands box. And that kind of handcuffed them in their offense this way. I think he wanted to get back to more of what we were talking with Shanahan, you know, maybe not as creative, but run the ball, and then we fake that damn run, and ooh, there's Brandon Ayuk going over the middle for a 30-yard gain. I think that would fit them more anyways with Dobbs and Christian Watson.
Speed, yep.
And for a young quarterback, those are the type of throws that are easy to see. The play gets to develop. People separate downfield. The holes become bigger. Like, I wouldn't want Jordan Love to be making really quick, let me fit into a tight window and make the right read like Aaron Rodgers has done the last few years. That'll be a fucking disaster. He'll throw fucking 30 interceptions this year if he has to play that way. So this way, I think, cleans the field. We block. We keep the tight end in. Hey, he's one-on-one outside. He's running a comeback. Just throw the fucking comeback one-on-one. You know, hey, we've been running the ball. Ooh, the safety's cheating down. We're going to throw the post over the top to Christian Watson, right, with a crosser underneath. I think that's the kind of stuff they'll try to do with Jordan Love, but I think it'll be more run-based defense and shots down the field for Green Bay.
Well, that would be exciting to watch, yeah, especially with the speed they have at wide receiver. Right. And I like your point of that. It probably applies to a lot of young quarterbacks around the league. You could say the same for Anthony Richardson this year maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, utilize his arm.
Definitely.
Now with him, he could also tuck the ball and run if you're playing off of him.
Right.
But that's a friendly way of helping. You're not running a training wheels offense necessarily in terms of dinking and dunking.
No.
You're running a training wheels offense in – we're going to protect you with the run,
right,
and we're going to utilize your strength throwing down the field.
Exactly. To me, it's one of the undervalued or, you know, what do I want to say, not used enough tactics in all of football by young quarterbacks or older quarterbacks. That's why I love Joe Burrow a little right now. And Mahomes and them got into this a little last year too, where they were just like, hey, fuck the concept. If it's one-on-one with Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to throw the comeback out there all day long. Big Ben used to do that to Antonio Brown. It just was like, oh, I'm just going to play football here. They can't cover him on an out route or a comeback. I'm just going to do that. You know, I think coaches don't love that because they feel like they're getting canceled out because they're like, oh, yeah, I came up with wide drive Z choice, and over here I want you to do that. And it's like, no, sometimes it's just better.
Right.
And for your point, you know, it's easier for the young quarterback. Hey, run the ball. It's a single safety defense. Okay. Now is Alec Pierce outside running the 20-yard comeback? Is he open? You got a strong arm, throw it. And people go, oh, it's a far throw. It's really a safe throw. It's a safe throw. And unless you throw it behind him, okay, then you're going to get intercepted. But anything out in front or high is either going to be caught or go out of bounds. And that's where I think people lose sight of that fact a little bit every now and then.
All right. That wraps up our Ask Me Anything training camp edition. It's been a lot of fun. A lot to go on. Camps are open, flying.
It's all going to be flying now. Here we go. We're going to the Hall of Fame game next week.
That's
next
be awesome.
Tuesday, I'm on the plane going
Jets and Browns are a week into practice
already. Oh, baby, I know. I'm gonna be all over the Jets and scout them out for you. And
Thank you.
Hopefully you don't ditch me for the rest of the summer.
No,
and you
I
come back and host a show every now and then.
I will come back anytime.
I know Matthew Berry's your best friend and all, but you can come
of
here.
My other job. Get ready for draft season. You'll like this one, Sims. Get ready for draft season with the Roto-World Fantasy Football Draft Guide featuring content from Matthew Berry. It's also featuring content from me, including player rankings, profiles, projections, mock drafts, and more. Go to NBCSports.com/draftguide and use code DRAFT2023 to save 20% at checkout.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, damn. I mean, one thing I can speak confidently in life is that Matthew Berry and you guys are all over the fantasy world in every angle possible. Yeah, Matthew Berry's, I mean, come on. He is who he is because he's phenomenal. He lives it. He eats it. He breathes it. He loves making videos of himself talking about it. He's the man.
From random places.
Yes, exactly. Walking through his living room talking about the Commanders being sold. But, hey, he was all over Jalen Hurts last year. Got Tony Pollard on there this year. I'm always picking his brain. And what I love about Matthew Berry, you know, I said this to a lot of people during the year last year. I mean, Matthew Berry, I know some people go, oh, he's fantasy, whatever. He's got a great eye of football. He understands the game and understands talent of players. And he added a lot of value to our Sunday night football show last year by just some of the things he said in the meeting rooms and whatever else, just, you know, giving his 2 cents on the game.
Well, it's going to be exciting watching you guys again. It was a blast last year, and I've had a blast this week filling in for Ahmed.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't want to scare your listeners. He's not gone forever. I'm just filling in for 2 days. It's been a good time.
It's just my cooler guest host, all right? Connor Rogers, always dressed cool. What kind of shoes you got on?
Oh, my beat up Hiraches.
Hiraches, all right.
Yeah, I went with Comfort today.
You're still cool. You still got Ahmed in that department, no doubt about it. But appreciate you driving the ship as always.
Anytime, man.
You're the man. We'll see you soon. Keep doing what you're doing. Follow Connor Rogers, all right? He's all over the game as always. Hope everybody enjoyed the little AMAs. You know, next week, like I said, Ahmed will be back on Monday. Tuesday, I'll be going to Canton, doing a few days of pro football talk there. From the Hall of Fame. Going to do a Thursday podcast next week. Wednesday's a busy day, and we got some NFL things we got to do, so we're going to have to do it on Thursday. But that's a little look forward to next week. Going to have a guest, I think, for the Thursday pod, a guy that used to be a pretty good football player. Going to do a little interview, talk to him, pick his brain, have some fun. I don't want to spoil it quite yet. But everybody be good out there. Have a good weekend. Stay cool. The whole country is hot as fucking shit right now. Find a pool.
Yeah, go for a
drink
swim.
Some liquids. Stay cool out there. Be safe. Peace out, homies. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.